Are you a hyper parent? Do you do a little bit too much for your kids, make their lives just a little too easy? If this sounds like you, believe me, you're not alone. We caught up with a couple of parents in New York who also admit that they are guilty as charged.
I am guilty of doing a little too much for my daughter. I take her pretty much wherever she wants to go. If she needs to be driven to a party or a friend's house, I change my plans and take her where she wants to go.
I think it's very hard. I feel that my parents didn't do enough for me, so I'm overcompensating.
It's inevitable that you compare what you do for your own kid to what other people are doing, and you wonder who's right and who's got the right balance.
Linda Fears is the editor-in-chief of Family Circle magazine. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Ann, how are you?
Now, this sounds pretty familiar, and a lot of working parents I know try to overcompensate. So when is it too much? When are we doing too much for our kids?
If you try to fix or eliminate any problem your child might face, then you're doing too much. And the truth is, it's really easy to get in that pattern. Nobody wants their kid to be hurt or sad. But the truth is, if your child is always saved from these situations, he's going to start to feel like there's something wrong with him, like he's either not smart enough or not strong enough to handle a situation on his own.
So it's not good for kids, and I can't imagine it's good for parents either.
No, it's really not good for anybody. And like I said, you know, it's very easy to fall into that pattern. And the reason why a lot of parents end up doing this is because they, from birth, a lot of parents feel like they have to orchestrate their child's life.
Right. It's amazing. Kids in grade school and people are already thinking about what college they're going to. They have a million activities. And you say it's really wrong to expect your child to excel in everything they do and to achieve that.
That's right. That's not the point in having your child do a lot of activities so he'll be great at everything. There are very few kids that are great at everything. But it's important to expose them to a lot of different activities so they can find out what they're passionate about, what they love, because those are the activities that they're going to try their hardest at and ultimately excel at.
Right. Let them try. Let them fail. Let them do all that. You have some great tips for parents. And you say one of the things you do when you want to jump in and solve a problem is you really got to ask yourself, whose problem is this anyway?
Well, that's right. And a lot of parents, you know, think back on when they were kids and when they were in uncomfortable or hard situations and then project that onto their own child. So, for instance, if you weren't invited to the cool kids party and you see that potentially happening to your daughter, you know, you need to say to yourself, you know, who's more worried about this, me or my kid?
That's a tough thing.
It is.
Because a lot of people experience that with parties. What about staying behind the scenes a little bit, pulling back and staying in the background?
Right. Again, very hard. And it might kill you to see your kid sitting on the bench during the basketball game week after week. But instead of running to the coach and dealing with it yourself, talk to your child. You might be surprised to find out your child's going to say, you know what, I'm just happy to be on the team. I don't really mind not playing so much in every game. But if he is bothered by it, then it's your job as a parent to encourage him to go talk to the coach.
And you say to really help your kids hone decision-making skills.
Can you give us an example of that? It's, you know, lifelong skills to be able to feel confident about making your own decisions. So, for example, if you have a teenage daughter who wants to get some new clothes, decide on the budget, take her to the store, let her pick out her clothes within certain parameters, you know, so she's making the decisions on her own. Same goes for if there's a social problem at school. Instead of rushing to help your child deal with it, wait a couple of days, see if she can handle it on her own.
Oh, so for friendship problems, kind of try to hold back
a bit.
You say, though, when your child is disappointed, that you really can help ease them through that. So we can show empathy, obviously, for our child's feelings.
Oh, of course, and your kid's feelings are going to be hurt when he goes to school and he sees that his science project does not compare to his friends whose chemical engineer father did it for him. But what you need to say to him is, you know what, I'm so proud of you. You did a great job. You did this all by yourself. And believe me, your teacher knows the difference between a child's work and an adult's work.
And you say to really rewrite the script about these setbacks. Help your child turn it around.
That's right. So if your child comes home and says, I failed my math test, I'm so stupid, say, you know what, remember 2 weeks ago when you did well on your test? You can do that again. So you're not going to immediately say, oh, gee, you know, we better call the tutor. There's got to be a problem here. You want to make your child feel like, you know what, next time you're going to do better, and here's how you're going to do it.
Help them keep it all in perspective. We
need to just calm down. Because the truth is, the kids need to learn, you know, it's okay to make mistakes.
That's life.
You know, it's life, and if you fail your math test or if you don't make the soccer team, it's not the end of the world.
Linda Fears, thank you so much.
Thanks,
you're always so sensible.